In a few weeks, we will be having, and this has happened, well, in fact, it just happened a couple months ago, and it happens on a pretty regular basis where we have a group of folks from our church that are serving somewheres in ministry, and they come back and they share with us about their week of service. And that'll be happening in a couple weeks from now. But this morning, we have a little bit of a different scenario that we've asked Libby to come share with us about her time of serving in ministry. Libby served for about 6 months, 3 months of training and 3 months of serving. And you're going to hear about that this morning. But as I was here yesterday and just preparing a little bit for this morning, I got to looking at the back of our bulletin where it lists our core values as a church. And I just thought, I want to read these out loud as it kind of sets the stage for what we're going to talk about and hear about this morning. So as some of the core values from our church, I believe were really displayed through what you're going to hear about this morning. So one of them is simply love for one another. We believe that we are called to love one another as Christ loved us. We believe through the Holy Spirit, God gifts us for works of ministry and service to one another. We believe that we are called to take the message of salvation to a lost world. We believe this salvation comes from God and is available only through Jesus Christ. And we believe that we are to be a fellowship of caring believers, meeting the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, both of those in our congregation and in our community and in the world. And that's really the experience, I believe those things summed up, is the experience that Libby had. But I don't want to tell you that because I wasn't there. So I want Libby, if you would come and join me, we're going to go ahead and share. We're going to use a kind of an interview format this morning. And Libby has a few photos as well that she'll share with you. We kind of, just for full transparency, we talked through this stuff ahead of time, so these are not trick questions to Libby. I might throw a couple of those in there. We'll see how it's going, just to make it a little bit more challenging and fun. We'll just throw a few extras. I'm joking. We'll stick to what we had talked to. But really, the hope is just to be able to share kind of how she sensed God calling all the way through her time of serving and coming back, returning to the U.S. So, Libby, why don't you just start by telling us, when did you first sense God might be leading you towards missions?
Do you have a mic?
I do have a mic. We're already off script. Look at that.
Thank you. Is it
on? Yeah.
Back in 2023, I went to this big conference called The Send, and these are pictures from that. But it's basically like they do these like activation times, and it was like 10 hours of praying and worship, and different speakers came to talk, and it was just a really great experience. But there was this one moment that I remember, this guy named Andy Bird, who I'd never heard of before, but who was actually like the guy who made The Send. He did this like altar call, and he was like, everybody hold up your shoes and like say, like, I'm willing to go, like I will be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then, like, asked, had, like, other calls of, like, I want to be a missionary, and I want to, like, serve God on my college campus. And that was kind of the moment where I, like, was looking around and, like, hearing all this stuff, and I was like, wait, like, people are actually missionaries? Like, I could do that? And so, like, that's kind of where I was first, like, yeah, the Lord kind of hit me and was like, hey, like, maybe you should think about this. I just started praying about it, and slowly over time, I was like, dang, like, I knew, like, I started to feel like I don't want to go to college, but, like, there's nothing that I'm really that passionate about, and the Lord was like, yes, there is, like, it's me, like, I want you to be passionate about me and to, like, pursue that. So I think that was, like, the defining moment for me, kind of where it changed, and I realized that, like, missions might be my future.
Man, don't you see the passion in Libby? Like, just answering one question, you see her passion for Jesus and for sharing that. What emotions did you wrestle with when you kind of felt that nudge, like you had that moment, right, where you sensed God was calling you into this. What were kind of the emotions that you wrestled with, the excitement, the fear, the hesitation, whatever else might have been a part of that?
It was definitely very exciting, like the idea of like traveling and like meeting new people. But that's also so scary when you've like never been out of the country and you've only lived like in one town your whole life. Like it was like so scary, and like knowing that I am so young, like that was like, I don't know, it was a big jump, and it was so different than what I was used to. But like, I feel like I was so ready for that though. Like yeah. The Lord prepared me, prepared my heart, and was like, it's time to go. So
let me explain. So when she says she was so young, how old were you when you flew out to Hawaii?
I turned 18 3 days before I flew.
Yeah, she graduated high school a year early. So like that's how young she was as she was heading out on this adventure, this trip. And you did hear me correctly. She was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii for the first 3 months. we'll get to that in a minute. But so you sense this calling. You have these feelings. How did you first hear about YWAM? Tell us what YWAM is. How did you first hear about it? And what made you feel like this was the right fit for you?
So YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission. So it's the idea that all of these young people, like we are the ones who are going to go and like tell people about Jesus. So it's like primarily like 18 to like 25, 6, like 30 year olds that are like mostly involved in it. But I actually heard about it at the Sen. I was going to the bathroom and these girls stopped me and they were like, hey, like we're from YWAM Kona, like we want to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. And like I was kind of having all these thoughts of like, wait, like God, are you telling me to be a missionary? Like I didn't know this was possible. Like it was a lot all at once. And so I was like just talking to them like, oh, like that's so cool what you do. But then they ended up like calling me and reaching out and like really like pursuing to tell me more. So I was able to just get a lot more information about YWAM and just like what that looks like. And then also there were these events called the Jesus Rallies in Ephrata the same summer. And I would go to those, and they have a YWAM in Lancaster. And so I got to get involved with them a lot and just hear so many stories, so many people that had been missionaries, that had been with YWAM. And I was just so like, I was just like, every time I'd hear a story, I'd be like, wow, like I have to do that. So I think that's kind of, yeah, how I got involved with YWAM and then decided to go.
So you've made the decision to go and to serve through YWAM. What were the next steps that had to be done to actually commit to going?
I obviously had to like apply and interview and all of those things. But the hardest part was like honestly just praying and like doubting myself and being like, is this actually what I'm supposed to do? And I had applied to the YWAM base in Atlanta, and they had really pursued me also. So I felt kind of stuck, like, Lord, are you leading me to Atlanta? Are you leading me to Hawaii? Like, where do you want me to get trained? Like, it really doesn't matter, but like it does, like, because there's people I'm gonna meet, like it will change my outreach. Like, it'll be an entirely different experience. But yeah, it was a lot of time in prayer and just like overcoming like the reality that like, dang, I'm actually doing this. And yeah, I felt like the Lord was like, I want you to go to Kona. So I was like, okay, I'm not opposed to that.
And your parents had to suffer by taking you. Yeah. And any obstacles, kind of the obvious obstacle that maybe even created doubts for you in moments in the process of moving forward with it?
It was definitely hard, like, breaking the societal norms. Like, even nowadays, like, people are like, oh, are you in college? And I'm like, no. But then it's, like, an open door to tell them, like, I went to this mission school and got to, like, tell people about Jesus and all of this stuff. But it was definitely hard, like, doing something that's not, like, your usual, like, high school, college job, you know? And it was also really scary, like fundraising, because I was like, dang, like, am I gonna fundraise enough? Like, am I doing this the right way? Like, what if it doesn't work? But like all those doubts in my mind, like the Lord used that whole experience to like bring me so much confirmation because of like the generosity of everyone to support me, and even just like the prayers, like that really brought me so much confirmation and like peace in my heart that like this is what the Lord has for me, and like his timing is perfect and it's gonna be good.
Yeah. So 3 months was spent in training, and that happened in Hawaii. What did the training phase look like? What did a typical day or week, however you want to break it up, what did that look like for you?
Okay, so our weeks were very, very busy. We would get up in the morning at like 8 and we would do worship in our big, like, it was called the Ohana Court. It was like a big, like, open area. We would just go and worship. And then we would have a morning class, and this is a picture of that, and that's actually Andy Bird, who spoke at the Sen and turns out was like the leader of my school. So that was really cool, like full circle time, like getting to hear him speak again. But yeah, we would go to class, we would learn, it was broken down by like weeks. So we would have like a Holy Spirit week, a Bible week, like a biblical worldview week. So we got to learn all the different things. And it was just like a really great time. And then in the afternoons, we would alternate between times of intercession, which was something totally new to me. I've never done that before, where we would literally just take time and we would worship and we would pray as a school, and we would pray specifically for different nations. So like one day we would pray for Korea, and one day we would pray for like South Africa, and like we would, yeah, it was just great. And it was something so new, but like I learned so much in that like this is how we fight our battles. It's by praying and like interceding on behalf of these countries where they don't have the same like privileges and freedoms that we do. And then the other afternoons we would alternate with intercession would be something called track. So we all got to pick what kind of group we wanted to do. There was a group for worship. There was a group that did dance as worship. There was kind of like a women's leadership group called Brave Love. And then I chose, there was a workout one, and then I chose the one called Local Impact Team. And so what we would do is we did a lot of like training on how to share the gospel, how to preach, how to like talk to people and build community and like truly do those things. And then we would also go to the neighborhood next to our base, and we would have like this little like Bible club with the kids there, and we would grill them hot dogs and do Bible trivia and just play games. And it was just like a great way to love on those kids and just get to know them a little bit. It was so fun. We did lots of practice evangelism over and over and over again, and just learned a lot. Our teacher was really, really great and just on fire for the Lord. So, yeah, it was a hard decision of which track to pick, but I feel like the Lord really blessed me in that, and like that was where I needed to be. And yeah, he really grew my heart during those afternoons. So that was probably my favorite part of our training. And then we would also in the evenings have like worship with the entire campus and not just our school. So lots of worship, lots of prayer, not a lot of downtime, but it was great.
What were some of the most impactful things that God taught you during the 3 months of training?
The Lord really just opened my eyes to like the lukewarmness that I had been living in, that like you can be living with one foot in the door of like, I love Jesus, and like, I'm going to go to church, and like, I'm going to even read my Bible this morning, but like, my other foot is still in the other door of like, I'm going to gossip about this coworker, I'm going to be passive and lazy, and I'm going to like, do all these things that aren't necessarily like, even things that aren't necessarily like bad, but they're just like the Lord has so much in store for you. And like to be kind of living in both worlds was just like, my eyes were just so open that like I hadn't truly been living fully in with the Lord. And that there's so much deeper relationship and intimacy that he has for us. And just like the power of prayer. Like we spent so much time in prayer, but like seeing it actually do things was crazy. There was like one guy in my school that everybody prayed for, and he got completely healed of his celiac that he had for years and years, and was like eating all this bread. And we were like, this is crazy. Like, it's just so insane, like how the Lord works and how he like truly hears our prayers. And I feel like he also really taught me that like there's no performance when it comes to him and like relationship with him. And we were in this environment of like, we need to preach the gospel and we need to do this and we need to do that. But like, even if I sit here and I do nothing and I just sit in the presence of the Lord, like he is happy with me. And his love is so much greater than everything else.
How do you feel that time shaped your faith and stretched you personally the most?
Back to like the lit track thing, is what we called it, the local impact team. I feel like evangelism is not something I ever did in my life. It's not something I ever learned or like I even realized was like a thing, but like we truly learned how to preach the gospel, how to see someone on the street and hear the Lord say, like, go talk to them, and to just go talk to them, and how to tell them about Jesus and how to invite them into relationship with him. And I feel like that completely changed me and completely changed my relationship with the Lord, because I was like, what have I been doing? Like, I haven't told anyone about Jesus. And like, that's the whole point. Like, the whole point is having a relationship with the Lord, but then also like sharing that joy with everyone else and sharing that relationship with everyone else. And so like that truly like changed my heart, that like I feel like I am called to be an evangelist. And it truly like, yeah, it was like, I can't even put it into words. It was just so good, like seeing the Lord completely change my life.
So 3 months goes by, and I'm imagining they went by pretty quickly. And then you end up, where did you end up heading to, and how did that whole decision happen? And this is off track here now.
Yeah, so our school, when I went to Hawaii, I didn't know where my outreach was going to be or who was going to be on my team or anything. So then one day they have this big thing and they send us to the Ohana court and they play this video of all the countries that our school's being sent to. So we had a list of like 13 different countries and we had 24 hours to pray about where we felt the Lord was going to send us to go. So very stressful time, because how do you choose between all of these places? I was praying. I was in the prayer room and I was like, Lord, like, just show me where you want me to go. And I was sitting in front of this big map that like covered the whole wall. And I just felt like three places were like highlighted to me. And so I was like, okay, Lord, like, it wasn't even like a thought. It was just like in my head. Like, I just knew like what to pick. So I picked Egypt, Germany, and the Netherlands. And then my third choice was Taiwan. And I for sure thought I was going to Germany. And then a couple weeks later, we finally had our like official outreach reveal, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, they were like, everybody go to the Ohana court, and we're like all running there like, oh my goodness, we're finding out where we're going, and it's like such an exciting time. But they're like playing this video, and I have a video of like me recording the screen, and I'm like, I'm going to Germany, like, I know I'm going to Germany. And then like the Germany team comes on the screen and I'm like, wait, what? And then the last country to come on the screen is Taiwan, and I saw my name and I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy, like, I'm going to Taiwan, I don't even know where that is on the map. So my team that night like circled up and we got together and we were like, oh hey, like, we're gonna be living together. And I was just standing there like, wow, like, I did not expect to be going here. But yeah, it was so exciting, such a good, it ended up being such a blessing and right where the Lord wanted me to go. But yeah, that was kind of the process of like finding that out. And so then right before Christmas, we flew to Taiwan, and that's like a little island, and it's southeast of China. So super like connected to China. They speak traditional Chinese, which was very hard. But this is kind of what we would do. I have a couple pictures to like talk through. So these are my teammates, and they're just like praying over these guys. Like that's what we would do all the time. Like we would just go around. We would leave at like 9 or 10 in the morning from the little place we were staying, and we would get home super late at night, and we would just spend the whole day like in the city talking to people, getting to know people, praying for them, like, how can I pray for you? And just inviting them to start a relationship with Jesus. We would go to these like different night markets super late at night, and again, like just meet people, and it was just so fun, but definitely long days. We spent a couple days in different schools, and we got to kind of tell them like, oh, we're from America, and we're actually missionaries, and this is what that means. And most of us got to share our testimonies with different classes and just tell them more about us and our lives. And again, just like love on them, because that their culture there is very, it's very performance-based. So they go to school all day, they go have dinner for an hour, and then they go back to a place called cram school where they do more studying and get more assignments, and they're there until super late at night. So I think it was just a great time to see them just lighten up and just have a good time in school because they work so hard there. And we also got to spend time in some churches. And I had the opportunity to share my testimony with a youth group. We got to work with like some kids programs, and we did lots of evangelism trainings with churches. So we would go in and we would do worship with them, and then we would say like, this is how to share the gospel. This is how to share your testimony, and this is why we do it. This is the scripture. This is why we tell people about Jesus, and like, we're going to partner with you to make change in Taiwan and in your town, which was really great. And then we would go out and evangelize with them, which was so fun because we got to be with people who spoke Chinese and they got to be with people who have done that before. So it was just really great. And so our first month, we were kind of in Taipei City the most of the time, which is north of the island. And then we went south a little bit. We went to the west coast, the east coast, and then south. And we spent a week with like a ministry that houses people with different like mental disabilities. And that was just a really great time to just love on those people also. We got to do like a skip for them and a dance, and it was just so fun, and kind of join in with like their day-to-day lives. They would go to like different jobs and stuff. And I got to be in the bakery, which was so fun because I love to bake during COVID. And the Lord just really made that like a full circle moment of like getting to serve them and bake with them and show them how to make like an American birthday cake. They thought was like the best thing ever. But like something that is so simple for me and like was part of my everyday life. Yeah, it was just cool to see the Lord work in that too. But yeah, I think that was mostly what we did. We went to this camp where we just got to serve as like leaders in the camp and also really pour into the staff of the camp because they work really, really hard to make the camp great for the kids. But a lot of them were really struggling with their own burdens and their own doubts and struggles in their walks with the Lord. So to just be able to like speak life over them was just, I think, so refreshing and yeah, just a great blessing to them.
Can you share a moment where you just clearly saw God at work in your life and or in somebody else's life?
One of my favorite, like I have the perfect story for this because we were doing this whole like weekend with a Filipino church that was in Taiwan. Because all these Filipino women came to Taiwan to work in the factories, and many of them were like sending money home to their families, just very hard workers, but they would have this church every weekend and just eat together and pray and worship, and it was just really great to like join in on that. But one of the things that we did with them was this evangelism training. So we said, like, this is why we share the gospel, this is how you can do it so simply. And here's like an example, and we're going to practice. And then we went out with them into their community, and we were just evangelizing with them. And I was with a couple of these women. I think there was three of them or two. But we are walking, and there's kind of people at this park, and like me on the inside, like my flesh was like, no, like let's not talk to them. And they're like, we're talking to them. And they just walk right away from me, and they go talk to this family. And they explain the whole gospel, and they're like, do you want to receive this? Like, do you want to start a relationship with Jesus? And they're like, yeah. So then they're like, Libby, help us. What do we do? And I'm like, you like, we're going to like go, say the salvation prayer. Like, I'm going to walk you through this and like really tell you what it means, that it's like really repenting and turning away. And it's not just like saying a prayer, but like it's receiving Jesus and starting a relationship with him. And then after that, like person after person, every person they talked to was just so receptive. And I think they led five people to the Lord that day, which was so insane and so like such a blessing to me, because I was like, dang, like these people are now equipped to go share the gospel, and they hadn't been before. And then also like seeing the joy in their eyes and like in their hearts when, you know, they saw like the kingdom being multiplied. Like there's no better feeling than that. And like to see it change them in their hearts. And they were like, yeah, tomorrow we're going to go out. We're going to go out an hour early because we want to see even more. And like that was just like crazy, like to see people like actually on fire for the Lord.
Don't you just love her passion? Like it's just amazing. Where was there a person or a story from Taiwan that has stayed with you and continues just to impact your life today?
Yes, I have two quick stories. So after our time in Taiwan, we went to Hong Kong for like, we were doing ministry for like 4 days. So my team, we all got to plan like a morning or an afternoon of like what we were all going to do. So one morning we were just going to this park, and we were like, we're going to go talk to people and evangelize and like see if anybody wants to start a relationship with Jesus. So that's what we did. We go to this park and we partnered up, and I was with my teammate Isaiah, and we start walking. And there was this little, like, McDonald's, like, shack, ice cream shack in the middle of, like, the park. And so we're, like, walking by it, and I see this girl, and her shirt says, "My desires are God's promises." And I was, like, before I could even think, like, my body just went. And I was, like, talking to her, and I was, like, "Hi, how are you? Like, what's your name?" And she starts talking to me, and I'm, like, "I love your shirt. Like, I noticed this, like, is about God, and, like, you have, like, cross necklace, like what does that mean to you?" And she's like, "Well, it doesn't really mean anything. I just saw it at the store and I thought it looked cool." And so I was like, "Okay, like let me tell you what it actually means." And so I explained to her the whole gospel and some of my testimony and just like kind of what relationship with Jesus looks like. And she was just a little bit stuck on like, well, like, how does that change my life? Like, what does that do for me right now? And so I was honestly a little bit stuck because I'm like, well, like, it's hard to have all the answers. And it is like super scary, but I was like, Holy Spirit, like, tell me what to say to her. So finished that conversation. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to pray for you. And like, you can tell me, like, if you feel the Lord's presence, because I can't, like, explain it enough. I can't, there's no words that I can give you that will, like, convince you of the Lord, but, like, if you, like, let's pray together, and I believe that the Lord will show up. And so I prayed for her, and afterwards she's like, wow, like, I felt so much peace and joy, and, like, this is amazing. And then she ended up starting a relationship with the Lord, and she wrote on Translate. Well, we were doing this whole conversation on Translate, so that was also very difficult. But then she wrote me this message that was like, "Thank you for letting me know Jesus." And I was just like, dang, like, this is what it's about. Like, these people have never heard the name of Jesus before. Like, they don't know who he is. Like, they can, like, wear this shirt that says, like, "My desires are God's promises," but, like, not even know what that means. And so, like, that truly just, like, hit me that, like, dang, like, wow. And then there was another girl that I met, and I was with one of my teammates. I think it was also Isaiah. But we were just walking, and we met this girl, and we're just talking to her, and she had so many questions, like hard ones, like, does God get upset with me when I sin and I know it's sin? And like things like that. And we just got to talk to her and like really show her that like God is a loving God and he has so much grace and mercy. And I left that conversation feeling so like discouraged. Like, did she really understand what we were saying? Did it really mean anything? Like, were our answers good enough for her? Like, did it make sense? Like, I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like anything really happened. But then when we were in Atlanta, and this is a picture from our graduation, I just threw in there. But during that week, she DM'd me and was like, hey, like, I'm back in church for the first time. Like, it was great to meet you. And I was like, whoa, like, it felt so, like, final. Like, we were there, we served, we met people, and we left, and it was over. But, like, the Lord was still working and moving, and like, even when we were gone, like, he was taking those conversations that may have felt like they didn't do anything or they didn't mean anything, and he was working in their hearts. So that was just so encouraging that, like, everything that we do, it has long-lasting effects and impressions on people. And so, yeah, that's still, I just think about that all the time, that, like, yeah, the Lord is moving in Asia, and it was just such a blessing to be a part of that.
It's not all easy. I know that. So what were some of the challenges that you faced?
I think the hardest part was definitely having like no space and no personal time. Even Kona was amazing and like literally the best time ever. But we had 8 girls in one room with one tiny little bathroom and everything was breaking, like our doorknob fell off and like nothing, the lights, the electricity went out like every day. But it was just really difficult, like being with that many people. And then again in Taiwan, we were for the first month staying in a tiny little apartment. And my teammate Hazel, who I love so dearly, she's so precious and perfect, but her and I would sleep in the same bed and wear the same clothes and eat the same food, and it was like I was not like my own person. It was like I was always in this tiny little house with all these people, and so it was definitely hard to not have my own space. And even like finding time with the Lord was very difficult because there was nowhere to go to do that. But yeah, and we would have such long days. It was definitely really challenging of like leaving so early in the morning and coming home so late at night and not feeling a lot of like, it was just a very busy season.
How'd you see God meet you in those challenging times?
Well, my team was so amazing. I put a picture of them because I love them so much. And yeah, they were just so good and so loving and always so gracious. And I feel like we really worked together well. And I feel like the Lord really challenged me that, like, yes, there's nowhere for you to go to, like, be alone with me, but, like, can you be alone with me in the presence of other people? Like, can you shut out everything around you and just look at my face? And so that was something, like, that I really had to, like, be disciplined about, is, like, making my time with the Lord, because you can only pour out if you're being poured into. And so, like, it was very difficult if there were days when we had to go do ministry, but we had, you know, like overslept, or it was just like a busy time and we didn't get to have like worship as a team, or we didn't get to have like any like alone like prayer time with the Lord. Like, it was really difficult. But the Lord met me in that and really challenged me. And I think something that I also learned, and I'm trying to still like incorporate into my life now, is learning to Sabbath, because we would do 6 days of ministry and then we would have one day to just rest and spend time in the Word and just hang out. And I had never really like Sabbathed before in my life. Like, I didn't really know what that meant, but like it just worked so perfectly that like working for 6 days and resting on the seventh, like I truly like saw and felt that like this is how the Lord designed it to be. Like, we are overworking ourselves, and the Sabbath is so biblical, and like it was just so crazy to just experience that and see how my life changed when we were Sabbathing. And so that's something that I want to continue to do now, because I feel like it's a really good practice. But it is really hard with kind of like everyday life to incorporate that. But yeah.
Yeah. So looking back, how has the experience, the overall experience, changed you?
I feel like I kind of touched on this earlier, but my life has just completely changed. Like, I feel so on fire for the Lord, and like anywhere he wants me to go, I'll go. Anything he wants me to do, I'll do. And it's not always easy, and it's so scary, and like it's hard. Even being in like this in-between season of like, I just finished that, but I'm not on to what's next yet. But yeah, like my heart burns, and like one thing that the Lord spoke to me on like our team debrief time was like, it doesn't stop here. And so like taking all of those practices and all of those things that I learned and like bringing that into every season, like not just a season of ministry, but like into every season of my life. And just like, yeah, holding myself accountable and reading my Bible and being on fire for the Lord and being so unashamed of the gospel, because I think it's so easy to get kind of trapped in this like lukewarmness and this like, I'm a Christian, but like I don't really want to like tell people about Jesus, because like what if they're not, like I don't want to offend them, but like Jesus changed my life, and like ultimately that is why I'm here. So I'm going to be so unashamed as I possibly can. Like, that is what I'm going to be. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
That's awesome. So we're all called to do exactly what you're talking about, right? Like to unashamed share the gospel of Jesus Christ. For all of us, that works our way into our daily lives, to school, to work, to those kind of things. For some people, and maybe some people sitting in here, it might look more something like what you experienced and did. What would you say to somebody who might feel God nudging them to do something similar?
I would say go. It's the best thing you could ever do. Like, there's nothing more rewarding and more like fulfilling. Like when we had those conversations of people like truly like feeling the presence of the Lord and like meeting him, many for the first time, and like starting a relationship with the Lord, like there's nothing I've ever experienced, no like relationship, friendship, possession, like nothing compares to telling someone about Jesus for the first time. Like, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah. No, don't be. That's awesome. Praise the Lord at how he is at work in your life and how he works through YWAM, your experience there. And we know that the kingdom has been impacted through all that. I got to share on a much lighter note. So I prayed for Libby throughout her time there. She did some updates, that kind of stuff. So it helped us to know how to pray and all that kind of stuff. But I got to tell you, this was kind of an interesting thing that came up. Well, Libby was in Taiwan, on Netflix, I think it was, there was a show that came on about this guy that climbs skyscrapers. And this is not as spiritual as what Libby has been sharing with us. But he does this with like zero safety stuff on. And he was going to be doing it. And I asked Audrey to ask Libby, like, is that anywhere where they're going to be? And I think like, you actually saw this happen, right?
We were in the city, but we didn't, like, see him do it. But.
Praise the Lord. That was an answer to my prayer. Because I'm thinking it would be a great thing to see if it all goes well. Not such a great thing to see if it doesn't go well. If it's on Netflix, it'll get cut off. But if you're in person, it's not. So there was times also where I think you guys had some down times where you could see Taiwan, experience a little bit of its culture, yeah. That kind of stuff as well. But at the end of the day, you would just say, even not knowing all the steps that are ahead, everything that's the next curve in the road, to take the step that's immediately in front of you and just be faithful and serve God.
Yeah, and another thing is like, no matter where you are, there's an invitation to serve and just be like so open to the Holy Spirit. I think like for some of us that is to go, it is to, you know, like go to other countries and other nations, in other states, like to go and to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. And for some of us, it's right where you are right now. Coming back, I felt like this kind of like struggle of like, I don't have like vision for my life right now. Like I'm just working a job and like, it's so like mundane and boring and it's not really ministry, and like really struggling with like, I don't have the community that I had before. Like I don't have my team. I don't have my friends like seeking alongside of me. And the Lord really just spoke like, if you don't have that, like that is my invitation to you to partner and to build that where you are. So I think there's an invitation for all of us to, find our ministry here and to just live so unashamed.
Yeah. I've heard it said, in our goings, go and make disciples of all the nations. In our goings, whatever you're doing, be making disciples for Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time, to be able to hear from Libby and her time with YWAM. To be able to hear how you certainly impacted Libby's life, how you changed her heart, how you've drawn her closer to you. Lord God, we know that you were at work through their ministry there as well. And some of it has been seen while they were there, boots on the ground. Other parts of it, they may never realize the impact that they had until someday when we are in your presence. So Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we shared this morning, that it would be an encouragement to each one that is here to do exactly what Libby said, to go, in our goings, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be at our schools, in our communities, at our workplaces, or whether you choose to send us somewhere to do that, Lord God. May we be obedient in doing just that, in going and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may you use our efforts. May you bless our efforts. May they be fruitful as a result of your Holy Spirit at work. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.